know, Father, it's always good to come and once again remind ourselves of who you are in our lives, that we might bless your name, that we might worship you and honor you and give you glory, for you certainly are due all of that. And we thank you for the work that you have done in our hearts, the work that you will continue to do. And so as we come even this morning, we would just ask that you'd open our mind and heart to your word, that again you might plant another seed, that it might grow, that we might continue to know you and love you and honor you. And we thank you now as we come in that wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is good. Before I start, I just wanted to, I know Dan Jr. is not here, but David is here. Thank them for the last 2 weeks in sharing. They shared some wonderful words, right, on suffering and brokenness. I got a chance to hear both of them, and so we appreciate what they had to share. It's good to see young guys growing in the Lord, right? And knowing that they're pouring out their hearts and searching and certainly giving their lives for him. So we thank you for your sharing, David and Dan, who's not here. Is Dan, is he down at the softball thing or is he homesick? He's softball, okay, hallelujah. Yes, they're all down there. God is good, hallelujah. But it's good to watch what goes on. I did just want to say something, too, about Israel. Let me just say this, that I'm not going to share anything on Israel this morning because I have prepared something, but I really want everybody to be here, and then I want the young kids to see it, too. So come back next week. We're going to share on Israel and show you some of the slides, some of the pictures, videos that were taken there, and maybe just share a few things that went on, give some people the opportunity to share what they saw. I certainly thank Frank for pushing the trip and certainly Jennifer, who really organized the whole thing. And so it was glorious just to be there. You know, we spoke about this morning about the battle yet to come. And we had an opportunity there to see the place where the battle is yet to come. It's called the Valley of Megiddo. Huge valley. I mean, it really is a huge valley. So when they say that the blood is going to be as high as a horse's neck, you can imagine the amount of, and 200 million men are going to meet there. That's just from one army. This place is going to be unbelievable what's going to go on there, but it is an enormous valley. And Israel is a special place. Now, I don't want to say if you've never had an opportunity to go, you should go, because that's up to you, really. I don't believe that you have to make a Mecca to Israel, like the Muslims have to make a Mecca to Mecca. You know, they have to go there once in their life. You don't have to go to Israel. But certainly those of you who have been there or have a desire to go, you should go, because it's the place where Jesus walked. And you get to see a lot that has gone on there in life. Certainly a lot of archaeological digs that are still going on. It's amazing, all the building that's going on in Israel. But it's a wonderful place. The people are wonderful. And if you have an opportunity, go. But we'll tell you more about that next week. Is that okay? All right. Not as good. You have in your bulletin a little, if you will, questionnaire. As Rob suggested, we're going to be starting our Wednesday night services, not this Wednesday or the Wednesday after that, but the Wednesday after, so the third Wednesday from now. And, you know, as usual, we usually do some series here, but I really want to know what's on your heart. What is it that you want to hear? So if you do come on Wednesday nights, by the way, as I look out here, there are a lot of faces that don't come on Wednesday nights, but that's for another time. So if you do come on Wednesday nights and you have a desire to hear or learn something in the Bible, you might want to just fill this out. I just have three that I chose just as opportunities, and then the other one says other. You could fill that in. So if you have a desire to learn about something like maybe faith or life or death or whatever, you could fill that in, and we'll certainly see, you know, what the consensus is as the Holy Spirit continues to remind you and remind us of what we want to teach on. Okay. Again, I would remind you that there's a lot going on in the body, as Rob mentioned. A lot of people are hurting and sick. There have been a few deaths not in our particular body, but people who are in our body have lost fathers and brothers and so on, so you need to keep them in prayer. If you don't know who they are, then maybe you want to come up later. We'll tell you who they are. You could keep them in prayer, their families. God is good. Okay, a few weeks ago, I guess that's 3 weeks ago now, we shared on Be Influential. Does anybody remember that? Be Influential. And we shared about this as we started, that you are the salt of the earth, if you remember. Matter of fact, this is the scripture that we said. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. So we already shared on that in being influential, and that God wants us to be influential. This morning, we're going to deal with the second part of that verse, and that is, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You know, light is very interesting. We take light for granted. Probably not a lot of us have studied the issue of light unless you took some physics courses. Light is both wave and particle. It behaves in both manners, and so we really don't understand very much about light, believe it or not. Matter of fact, I just heard a great on the FM station, Family Radio. They had a specific guy who was talking about gravity, and he always likes to ask, because he was a teacher, he likes to ask his students about what is gravity. That's the question, what is gravity? And so he asked a question all the time. Every year he starts his class, he says, what is gravity? And of course, students will raise their hand and give him some answers. But you know something? We don't even know what gravity is. We have no idea what gravity is. Oh yeah, we can measure it. We can understand a little bit about it, but we have no idea what gravity is. And here we have been around for 6,000 years. But I'm so glad that God knows what gravity is. And he's placed gravity here. But we don't know what gravity is. Well, it's a law. Well, what is it, though? What is gravity? It's a force. Well, what does that mean? You know, there's so much in the area of science that we can claim as laws, but we really don't understand where they came from, why they're here. Just as you think about the atom, those of you who might have studied a little bit about the atom, the simplicity of the atom with electrons rolling around a nucleus, and in the nucleus are protons. Protons are plus forces or charges. Did you ever give any consideration that if you put two plus charges together, what do? They repel. Well, how do they stay there? How do all of these protons stay in the middle without repelling each other? And not only that, but the electrons, they're supposed to do what to the protons? They're supposed to attract. Well, why is it they stay in orbit? Was it simply centrifugal force that keeps them out there? How does this happen? I'll tell you how it happens, because God is the one who puts the force within the atom and keeps everything stable. God does that. Men don't understand it, but God understands what he's did in his creation. All right, be influential. Let's go. Here we go. You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so as we start this morning, has anybody ever seen this on a car? I got a chance to see this on a car, and I'm saying, now, what does that mean? I'm saying, what the heck does that mean? Does that mean we're blinded by the light? We need sunglasses? Does this mean that we're puffed up? I don't know. I still don't understand. If somebody can certainly tell me what that means, I would appreciate it, because I have a hard time understanding what that means. But I'm sure it means something. One day we'll find out, but here, not so much. God is light. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So the first thing we learn about God, he is what? He's light. God is life. God is love. God is a consuming fire. And so, but this morning we're looking at this issue of God is light. So God is light by nature and by character. God is light. Light is what God is within himself, within his being, his essence, his nature, his character. As a matter of fact, he dwells in glory. He dwells in splendor. We call it the Shekinah glory. You know, you'll hear this over and over again. God is the Shekinah glory. As a matter of fact, that Shekinah glory came upon some individuals in the Old Testament. Certainly it was upon Jesus. Certainly when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Wherever he is, there is his splendor, his glory. The brilliance of light shines from his being. In fact, we are told that we don't really need the sun. One day there will be no sun, and we're told that God himself will light. This is what, I'll read you the two scriptures in Revelation. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. They call it Lamb light. One day, New Jerusalem will be lit by lamplight. There, and there shall be no night there, and there shall be no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so God says he is the light, but you notice he says something about you and I. He says, you are the light of the world, and we need to shine. And so I thought for a minute we would just look at some of the essence of some of the characteristics of light. And the first one we want to look at is this, that light is clear and light is pure. As a matter of fact, light really tells us about God's holiness. And the scripture that I've just chosen here is, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So light is a symbol of purity. It's a symbol of clarity. It's a symbol of holiness, really, of God. It's the absence of darkness. Now, I'm sure all of you have gone into a dark room and saw that you could see nothing until you turned on the light. Well, that's really what God is. So let me ask you a question this morning before we start. How do you see yourself when it comes to the issue of light? Do you see yourself as the light of the world? Does that get you puffed up? I hope not. Instead, it should give us a sense of thankfulness and humility that God has called us to a purpose, and that purpose is to be lights in a darkened world. Out there, there is much darkness. How many of you here realize that before you were saved, you were in darkness? I mean, real darkness. You might have went to church. You might have heard the gospel story. You might have understood a little bit about Jesus. You knew something about him. You knew historically about him, but you didn't know him. There was no light that was brought to the understanding of who he was and what he had done. This was just something that people were telling you, and you hadn't really received it into your heart. Maybe into your mind, a little bit of it, but not into your heart. And so hopefully now you understand that God has done something to you. He's brought light into your life, into the depths of your heart. And he wants you to be a light in a darkened world. And so this light is clear. It's pure. It sets itself apart. It's holy. It's holy light. That's what lives within you, a holy light. And then, of course, light penetrates. By nature, it cuts. It permeates through the darkness, cuts through it. And 1 Thessalonians says this, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Now, one thing we all understand, certainly here, even if you live on Long Island, one of the things you really don't want to do anymore, and I'm sure, though, you have opportunities to do it at times, is drive past midnight. A lot of stuff goes on in midnight, and it's not good night. It's not good stuff. You got to be careful when you're driving beyond midnight here on the island. You never know who's out there. Those who are partying for long times, maybe those that are on drugs or alcohol, and all of a sudden you'll encounter someone along the way. That's why God says we are children of the what? What does it say there? Children of the light, children of the day, and not of the night, not of the darkness. It's interesting that, you know, again, in these last 50, 60 years, we've developed lasers. And a laser will penetrate. Matter of fact, it's a single wavelength, electromagnetic wavelength, that goes through. And there's so much that's being done right now, but I just want you to remember that light penetrates. It also enlightens. And let me give you a verse here. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, knows not where he goes. See, the light opens up a vista. It enlightens our path. Did you ever drop anything in a parking lot and it sort of rolled away from you? You know, if you happen to be under the light, you can find it. But if it rolls beyond the stream of light, you find it's kind of hard to see where it is unless you have a flashlight. But that's what light does. It will enlighten. The light that you have will enlighten even beyond the borders that you sense you have. That's why Jabez said this. Jabez called upon the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you might keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. Have you ever asked God to enlarge your border, to let your light shine beyond what you think it can shine to? Well, that's what Jabez did. And that's what God is saying we need to do. You need to go to God and say, Lord, enlarge my border. Give me a larger sphere of influence. I have a certain sphere, but enlarge that sphere so that you can use me. This is not for my good, although we'll get good out of it, but for your glory, for your honor, that more might know who you are. And so we need to say that to God. Enlarge my board, enlarge the presence of the light that I have. Then light reveals. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for light revealing who Jesus was, you would not be saved. Can you understand that? God had to reveal to you who he was. And that's why he says this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the revelation that makes Christianity, if you will, different from all the other religions in the world. This is what sets aside what we believe from everything else. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. There is no other way. His light gives clearly that we can understand the nature, the meaning, and the destiny of all things. That light within you allows you to understand the nature, the meaning, and the destiny of all things. You have to ask God to allow that light to show and reveal these things to you. His light wants to open up things that you don't understand. He wants to reveal truth to you that you've never seen or had before. And the light of God will do that. Jesus will reveal through his Spirit more and more things in your life than you've ever had. The light of God reveals, just as Greg had prayed at the beginning, that God loves you and cares for you. Do you realize that God loved you, still loves you? Even when you mess up, God loves you, and he cares for you, and he wants to take you through the battles and the issues that you're going through. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the things that early on in my Christian walk, I remember I used to work with acronyms. Has anybody ever worked with acronyms? Like somebody mentioned the word doubt this morning, right, Anna? Doubt is a degree of unbelief before truth. That's what doubt is. D-O-U-B-T, a degree of unbelief before truth. And so here we are talking about light. Light reveals what is real in life. What is real in life? Real. Realizing eternities about love. That's what real means. You want realness in your life? Then you need to realize that eternity is about love. And by the way, the only one that can reveal that to you is God. He's the only one that reveals that to you. He sheds his light on you, revealing how much he has loved you and how much he wants you to love others. How many of you realize that sometimes loving others is not an easy chore? Have you ever realized in your life? It's not easy to love others until God comes into your heart, until that light permeates. Then you find you can love those that are unlovable. Maybe when you look in the mirror, you can even love yourself. And so let's go on. Love also vivifies. Or if you don't like that word, it enlivens. The light of God enlivens. It quickens those who are dead in trespasses and sin. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were made alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You were made alive. You were born again. You became a new creature, a new creation. You were resurrected from the dead. All of these things God did for you. Just as the scripture says, by grace you were saved. That light came upon you, and all of a sudden you realized who Jesus was, you realized who you were, and you realized you needed a Savior. And there was only one, and his name was Jesus. Light also guides us. You know, we were allowed to walk in darkness for many years. I don't know how many years it was before you got saved. For me, it was 35, walking in darkness. And then God revealed his light. God showed us. God started to guide us in the way of life. And so he allows us to walk out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that true in your life? You've walked out of darkness now. You've seen the light. You understand the truth. This path can be clearly seen if you allow God to lead you. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He guides us by his abiding presence. We no longer abide in darkness, but we abide in Christ. We've been grafted into the vine, right? We abide as a branch into the vine. As a matter of fact, when we were over in Israel, we were reminded, of course, The guide that we had was a Jewish man, a Jewish believer, and we were reminded that we're grafted in. We were not part of God's original plan. Now, when I say that, I want to be careful here. We were always part of God's original plan back when he discussed this with his father. But as that plan unfolded, it didn't look like the Gentiles were part of the plan at all. It was all about Israel. And it was all about Israel until they rejected their Messiah. And then we got grafted in because of that. But listen, just so you know, Jesus is coming back for his people. He's coming back for the Israelites, for the Jews. And one day they'll be reunited with him. But aren't you glad that we got grafted in here along the way, we as Gentiles? You know, it's like, wow. You mean we weren't part here? We had to get grafted in? They had to reject Jesus? So in one way, you can thank the Jews for rejecting Jesus so that we could get grafted in. But in the same way, you could also thank the Lord that he's never given up on his people just the way he will never give up on you. Once he throws out his line and catches you, you are caught. God's never going to give up on you. And so he wants to guide us along the path that he's chosen for your life. It also strips away, you know, it routes, it wipes out, if you will. It strips away, it erases the darkness. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, by the way, there's so many scriptures should shake you a little bit. You know, even when you're saved now, they should shake you a little bit. You should want to discuss some of these things with God and say, you know, the condemnation's come into the world and these people were in darkness and they do evil. Who are these people? Well, we need to raise our hands. We're all these people. We were all in darkness. We were all rebellious to God. Now, maybe your evil wasn't as bad as Adolf Hitler's evil. But you were still a sinner. You were still doing things that were wrong in the sight of God. You were not righteous. You were not right with God. And still God came along to you. That's the condemnation. This is it. We were all dead. We were all on our way to hell. I hate to say it that way, but that's where we were. But God chose to save you. You know, sometimes I think as Christians we get so we just take this all this for granted. Yeah, I'm saved. I am saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Lord, what can I do for you now because of what you've done for me? What small thing could I do in light of the large thing that you have done for me? Light routs the chaos. You know, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says that there was darkness, there was a void, right? All over the earth, all over the universe. And then God said what? Let there be light. He brought, or I should say, he routed the chaos that was there and brought forth light. Now, we could argue this issue. How come there was chaos to begin with? How come there was darkness to begin with? I don't know. You've got to take that up with God. But I know one thing. When God said there was light, light came. Darkness dissipated. But he did divide the day and night, light and darkness. Jesus is the light that can save man from chaos. And by the way, have you understood that there's chaos all around us in this time you're living in right now? Matter of fact, there's an article right now in your bulletin that says that people are getting fed up with listening to the news. How's about you? Does it really, every time you turn on the news and you listen to what is going on, it's like, this is unbelievable. This isn't what I remember. This is not what I remember in the 50s and 60s. I mean, chewing gum was a big problem in school. Today it's murder, drugs, and whatever else. What has happened? Because chaos has come upon our country. A spirit of chaos, a spirit of fear, a spirit of division has come upon our country. Philippians says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that's what we see, a perverse and crooked generation, or nation, if you will, of people that's here, that we were part of, But we've been called out. We are now lights. We need to shine the goodness of God in a land of darkness. Let me give you just two more. Light discriminates. This is not politically correct. Discrimination is not politically correct, is it? Well, I need to tell you, see, God doesn't go by political correctness. He does discriminate. God does discriminate, just so you know that. So when you hear some of these words, don't let people confuse you. What do I mean by this? Well, he discriminates between the right way and the wrong way. That's how God discriminates. And here's John 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, there is a right way and there is a wrong way, absolutely. It's not relativistic. Doesn't depend on how you feel or what's going on. It's not your way and my way and the highway or whatever. There is a right way and there's a wrong way. And now that you have light within you, you can know the right way and not the wrong way. And so light will discriminate between what is right and what is wrong if you allow it to. But if you want to stay on the wrong way, that's up to you. But God certainly will continue to knock on your heart, your soul, trying to bring you back to the right way. And the last one is this. Light warns. It warns of dangers that lie ahead in a person's path. And let's just look at this particular scripture. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so, listen, the light comes in and it exposes the things that are wrong in our life. And when they become visible, they become light. You see them for what they are. And that's why we need to turn so often. You know, we have chambers in our heart. We have locked up. We don't want God to even come near them. But when he starts to open up those chambers and we see ourselves for who we are, God exposes them. And we walk and we set free from the things that we've kept locked up. Unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, whatever it might be in your heart. God sets us free from all these things. There's a great illustration. You know, years ago, they put out books about illustrations for pastors. As a matter of fact, if you turn on Joel Osteen, you'll probably hear a lot of the illustrations because he likes to use them. And so I'm going to give you one illustration, and I'm sure if you've been around Christianity for a while, you've heard this. But it has to do, again, with this issue of light that warns. And so there was a boat, a ship, and it was approaching. It saw this light a long way off, and as it saw this light, it realized that the light was approaching it, and it was approaching the light. And so all of a sudden, they sent out a message. It said, turn 10 degrees to the east. And so the light returned a response. It said, no, you turn 10 degrees to the west. And so the admiral who was on board now sends his message. He says, I am an admiral, turn 10 degrees to the east. And the response from the lights came back, I am a petty officer, turn 10 degrees to the west. Now the admiral became indignant, and so he says, I am a battleship, turn 10 degrees to the east. And the light came back and said, I am a lighthouse, turn 10 degrees to the west. And so, I mean, what do? You're going to run into a lighthouse even though you're an admiral in a battleship? Of course not. But the light is sent to warn us of things ahead in our path. God will do that. Has God ever done that in your life? You know, here you are. You're moving ahead, doing things, and all of a sudden, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's a vision, maybe it's a confirmation from your prayer or somebody's told you. All of a sudden, God says something to you. You need to get off this path. You need to get off this path. You're in danger. Now, the danger doesn't necessarily mean an accident or death or whatever. Could mean a lot of things, like financial loss or whatever, something going on. God warns us because you have light within you. There's light within you, and that light shines within you. As a matter of fact, we want to reflect the light. And so I know you think we're ending here, but we're not. Hallelujah. You know, I've been warned that I go too long, and I do. I know sometimes I go too long, but just a few more minutes. Let me just. Oh, we got one more here. Light protects. Okay. It protects a person from dangers of darkness. Let me just give you. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. Remember, we reflect the light. Put on the armor of light. It will protect you from those things that are around you. But what is the sphere of influence we have? What is it? Well, we're supposed to shine in the what? Where do we shine? In the church, right? We shine here. This is where we shine. In the world. I mean, in here, the only thing we should see is nothing but light. We should be blinded by the light because you're all lights. But it's out there that we shine because there's no light out there. You are the only light that's shining out there. Now, again, I want to be careful, you know, because right away someone's going to email me and say, well, the Word of God. No, the Word of God isn't shining out there. It's not shining out there because nobody's picking up the Word of God. You're supposed to, if you will, engage them. Make them jealous for the living God through your testimony of what God has done. Shine upon them so that they will be enticed and want to read the Word of God. They'll want to get into the things that you're talking to them about. I still remember my early salvation. If it wasn't for this minister over in the Messianic Fellowship, and I had this conversation with him for it seemed like hours, throwing everything I could at him. And this guy was just a loving guy, just kept coming back with the same answers over and over again. I was like, but that light kept shining. It intrigued me to want to know more about this God. And certainly the influence of my wife and other people around me continue to enhance the issue of who is God? Well, who is he really? God really talks to people today. Does God talk? Does he talk to you? Really, I mean, can you say honestly that God is talking to you? Then I need to get you to a psychiatric hospital. Of course God talks. The question is, of course, are we what? Are we listening? But God is talking. He's talking all the time, and he's talking to you. He's talking to me. He wants to talk. But the world that we're in, just as you were in before, they're blind. They're stumbling. They're falling. They're in darkness. They're unclear. They're unseen. They're unaware. They're in chaos all around them. They're in trouble. They're in danger. And who's going to warn them? Who's going to say anything to them if not you? For so hath the Lord commanded us. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. He's commanded us to do this. And so, what's the mission? What is the mission? Well, the mission is that we have an unavoidable witness that we're supposed to have. We have to witness. We're a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. A light that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. We're a candle that's supposed to be put on a candlestick that gives light to all who see it. That's what he calls us to be. You know, life has different strengths. Did you ever notice that? Matter of fact, if you go into our fellowship hall now, you'll see that it's much brighter than it was before, which, of course, is not good, and I know I'm going to hear about that. But there will be dimmers. The dimmers are on their way. But listen, so it has different strengths. Very often your flashlight, sometimes when you've used it for a while, you turn it on, it doesn't give the same light that it had before. Why? Because the battery is starting to lose its energy. Therefore, it's not giving the same light. The same goes for you when you're out in the world. You start losing your energy. That's why there's a midweek service. That's why we have a service on Wednesday, so that you could get refueled, if you will, that your battery can be recharged. You know, I remember Ben Torres, when he spoke at a men's retreat, used to remind us, he said, you walk around during the week, and you look back and you see, does anybody remember what we see on the ground? Water, a puddle of water, because we've leaked out during the week. So we need to get refueled. We need to take a drink from the fountain of life. Do you find that in your life, that during the week you need to come to worship, receive a word, pray on a Wednesday night to be refueled? I'll have to tell you, as I look around here, not many. There are a few that come, but not many. But that's for another time. But if your battery's weak, you need to get re-energized. God wants to do something in your life. By Wednesday, if you've gone through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the world, you've been beaten down a little bit. It's time to get re-energized so that you can handle Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then be here on a Sunday morning. Okay, so let me end with this. So what's the purpose? What is the purpose of this? Well, we read the scripture. He says, let your light so shine to show forth your good works. Charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded, not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly. By the way, how many things to enjoy? All things. You can eat ham, you can eat pork, it's okay. All things to enjoy he's given us. Now, I would be a little cautious here, because you might be with a weaker brother and you might stumble them if you want to do certain things. But he's given us all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so we are to show forth good works, so that they would stir men to glorify God. That's the reason, so that we would stir men to glorify God. But so often, there's a danger because we cover up the light. We don't let it shine forth. We don't reflect that light that God has put within us. And God says that we need to shine forth through good works so that men might get stirred and that you might give a testimony of what God is doing, not only in your life, but even in the life of those around you, in your family. Has God touched your family? Has he changed the life of people in your family? Can you give a testimony of how good and great God is? You know, one day what we ought to do here on a Sunday morning is you should get the microphone and arbitrarily walk around and say, listen, can you give us a testimony today of what God has done in your life? And I know what will happen is probably people will start rushing to the doors to head out. But that's not really what should happen. We should all be able to stand here and say, yeah, God has done something in my life. Not just when I was saved so many years ago, but he continues to do new things, good things, great things, amazing things in my life. I would pray that would be the case for you this day, that God is still doing. By the way, you know one of the reasons why can't stand and say God is doing amazing things is because you don't expect him to. You don't expect him to. So when you get up tomorrow morning, the first thing you need to say is this, Lord, I expect you to do great things today. Amen. We heard something about promises, right? Well, God promises that he'll do great things for you tomorrow morning when you wake up. During the day, great things are going to happen. You just have to expect them to. And by the way, you will see that in the simplicity of your life, God is doing great things. Not the super great thing that you think is going to happen. In the simplicity of your life, God is doing great things. Can you believe that? Amen. God is good. Well, we're going to leave you with that this morning. And I know, well, hallelujah. God is good. It's Fellowship Sunday, and so we, you know, there's cake out there and rolls and coffee. You could fellowship together as we always do here. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. You are a great and mighty God, and you want us to be influential in our lives to others that they might know you. And so that would be our prayer this morning, that as we stand here, if there's anything that keeps us from being influential, you want us to be influential. You have moved us to be influential. You call us the salt. You call us the light. And so if you call us these things, then let us stand and believe that we are exactly what you call us and walk in faith, trusting you that you will do these things that you have promised in us. We thank you this morning. Bless your people now. Bless even this coffee and cake we're going to have as always. Continue to bless the young men that are down there, giving traveling mercies on the way up. And I know there are a lot of people that are hurting in the body. We've been praying for them. We keep holding them up, Father. You know that some need your